This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the day after my Redskins made their debut in Baltimore for the 2017 campaign day. I like saying campaign because I love politics day. We'll get into injuries. Sue Kravens, Trent Murphy in just a couple of minutes. Which one would be more costly to lose for an extended period of time for Washington? Murphy, who may or may not be the starter, certainly is on the field on important downs. As an outside linebacker, when his four-game suspension ends, Kravens, who is the starting safety opposite DJ Swearinger. Two things real quick. First, Cowboys apparently preparing to find out what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott today. Word came out last night. Remember, Chris Carter on Fox Sports 1 a few days ago said it would be less than 48 hours until we found out if Ezekiel Elliott was getting suspended. He speculated, based on someone he was talking to, it could be 4 to 6 games. Well, it's been way past 48 hours. We still don't know what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott. Roger Goodell came out and basically poked fun at Chris Carter's comments, saying he has nothing to do with what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott. The team, I guess, found out yesterday that it's going to come down pretty quickly. Now, we don't know if he's going to get suspended or not. No one has really said. There's no report out there how this is going to end other than that it could end today. So keep glued to 106.7 The Fan. Pete Medhurst will keep you up to date all morning and afternoon long. And if the news breaks, you're going to hear it here first. We'll let you know what is going on with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys. I wanted to hit on the Nats. Didn't get to do that in the first hour. So I'll get back into the Redskins at 11:30 or double play today on a Friday is actually winning off the field, where I'll take your calls on the little things going right in your day before the end of the hour. How about the Nats win last night? You know, it's a shame that this game took place during the Redskins preseason opener because a lot of people in town didn't get to see what was a very entertaining ball game. The Nats trailed 2-0 much of the night, scored 2 runs in the 6th to tie the game, and then took a 1-run lead in the 8th to win the game 3-2. This was reminiscent of and very similar to the win the other night when Adam Lind had a pinch hit, base hit, to take an 8th-inning lead. Then they turned it over to the bullpen in the 9th. The difference being that in the 8th inning this time, Brian Goodwin played hero, hitting his 13th home run of the season. He actually drove in the first run of the game with a double. Bryce Harper then drove in the second run of the game, his 87th of the season. He's absolutely going to drive in 100 for the first time this year. Can't wait to see him surpass the 100 mark as a run producer hitting third in this order. But then Goodwin's game-winning bolt in the 8th inning gave this bullpen a chance to do what they've been doing for the last 3 weeks, which is protect one-run leads. Sean Doolittle got his 10th save. He is perfect here in Washington in save opportunities. Allowed a hit, runner stranded at third, out number 27 on an outstanding catch by Andrew Stevenson. Matter of fact, Tommy, if you would, grab me that highlight because Charlie lost his mind. It was a great game-saving catch. The only way I think to end a game that's better than a walk-off home run is with an outstanding robbery in the outfield. That's the only better way to finish a game than a blast over the fence and then that party at the plate where everyone punches each other in the ribs. But Stevenson inserted into the game late for Adam Lind, which was a very good decision by Dusty Baker, makes a catch that Lind absolutely wouldn't have made. I'd even say Jason Wirth, as the regular left fielder on this team, wouldn't have made, and they win. Some of the particulars, Tanner Roark goes 6 innings and allows 4 hits, pitches 2-run ball. That is now 5 starts since the All-Star break, 4 of them very good for Roark. And this was not a masterful outing. I mean, he walked more batters 5 than he struck out 4. And, maybe more worrisome, his velocity was down. I was tweeting with Chelsea Janes last night. He was throwing less than 90 miles per hour for a couple of innings, which is weird and, to me, alarming. But it didn't seem to hinder him. Kinsler pitched the 7th, scoreless. Madsen worked the 8th. Two strikeouts, perfect. He's been their best reliever in the last month. Sean Doolittle worked the ninth and got the save. I'll tell you in a second why they wouldn't have won this game a month ago, but listen to the catch right here as heard on 106.7 The Fan from recently called up prospect, former LSU draftee, Andrew Stevenson, a homegrown talent who saved the day yesterday.
He has the sign again and comes set. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Kick and the pitch. Swing and a line drive left field. Stevenson coming in. Dives. He caught it. He caught it. He caught it. And a curly W's in the books.
Charlie Slows right here on The Fan. That's back in action tonight. Weekend series with the San Francisco Giants. They would have lost yesterday because, A, they wouldn't have been able to keep two runs on the board for Miami from innings 4-9. One of the things that a bullpen does, everyone thinks about protecting leads, and that's obvious. So in the ninth inning, when you're up one run, they may have lost that game or had to go to extras and wasted more relief pitching and had to scratch out another run because Blake Treinen or Sean Kelly or Coda Glover or anybody else may not have been able to get those three outs, even though I've got trust in the last two of those three guys. But that was the way the beginning of the season was going for the Nats. Doolittle came in, and he got the save. But the reason they won a game they would have lost is because you don't think about this, but a bullpen's job more than anything else, more often than not, is just to stop the bleeding. It's to not allow a deficit to get worse, to not allow a tie game to become a one- or two-run hole. And that's where they've been great. Kinsler came on in a 2-2 game and hung a zero. He gives up a run. Now, all of a sudden, your chance of winning drops off exponentially. Madsen comes on. It's still 2-2 when he pitched. He pitches a clean and flawless eighth inning and punches out a couple. So now you've had six outs to play with while even to try to take the lead rather than having to scratch out another run. It's like giving up a goal after you tie a game in hockey. It's demoralizing. It's depleting. They would have weeks earlier in the season. Now, Kinsler, Madsen, Doolittle, 7, 8, 9, they don't, and they win that game. So it takes six innings from your starter. They got it from Roark, and then your A bullpen and some timely hitting. It's a lot more simple when you shorten a game. And last night, they only had seven hits. They didn't do well with runners in scoring position. Six opportunities. They left some runners on base. They didn't even have that many of them because, frankly, they weren't getting on board. But three runs was enough. Hitting the ball out of the ballpark with Goodwin, a couple of big extra base hits to score runs, enough. Now, as far as this series with San Francisco that starts tonight, do not forget that the last time they played the Giants, Bryce Harper was charging the mound against Hunter Strickland, and the two teams were feuding. San Francisco's terrible this year, uncharacteristically, by the way. They've won more championships than any team in baseball over the last handful of years. That's a really good program who's having a disaster of a season, and because of that, they're going to probably sputter for the next few seasons and have to get back up to speed. But you cannot engage in feuding and getting even and eye for an eye tactics with this team right now. It's too important for you at 23 over 500. You're the second best team in the NL behind the Dodgers. You're a favorite to get to the league championship series. San Francisco's terrible. They're 46 and 70. Only Philadelphia is worse in the National League than the Giants right now, believe that or not. They're awful. Do not allow them to bring you to their level. Do not stoop to their level. If they hit you, if they want to engage in fighting again, if Hunter Strickland still has his feelings hurt because Bryce hit that homer, let him hit you. Don't charge the mound. Don't get suspended. Don't throw fists. I don't need people getting hit in a hamate bone because they're trying to get even after you hit someone. Just play baseball, please, and let the terrible team leave here having lost 2 out of 3. We all on board with that? Okay, good. Next, Cravens versus Murphy. I'll take your calls. Of those two guys, who's more important to this defense this year? Remember, Murphy only gets to play 12 games because of a suspension. Cravens, a projected starter. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.